This is Avos Perek Beis, Mishnah Test Zion 216, but some Mishnahs have this 211. The second of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three pieces of advice, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ayin hara, v'yetzer hara, v'sinas habrios, motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. An evil eye, and an evil inclination, and hatred of humanity, takes a person out of this world. Now, first of all, Motzinus Adam in Olam takes a person out of this world, even though in English being out of this world is a good thing, in Jewish thought it's a terrible thing. Most of the Rishonim learn that being taken out of this world is quite literal, meaning it causes premature death, and that's how most learn. There are some who learn it more figuratively, which is that it takes a person out of this world on a conceptual level, meaning that a person is put in this world with the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to forge a relationship with Hashem. And if he's distracted and totally, you know, off the mark by these three factors, so then essentially he misses that opportunity entirely, and he's essentially out of the world, much as a person who's in a coma or in a chemical-induced stupor or something is just, you know, out of it. So these people are out of it. They're missing the point and the opportunity of life. Worth pointing out here that ayin hara and yetzer hara, the word ra, resh ayin, doesn't just mean evil. Resh ayin hey means evil. Resh ayin could mean just sort of like bad or unstable or impermanent. The Ramban in Bereishis describes how when Hashem assesses different aspects of his creation as being tov, good, what does tov mean? It means that it has permanence, it will last. It's something which is temporary, isn't tov. So you could think of it, and this is actually how the sort of esoteric book called the Sefer Yetzirah describes the world as sort of like this five-dimensional universe. You have the three spatial dimensions, you know, side, up, down, forward, backwards. You also have the temporal dimension of, you know, past and future. Then you have a fifth dimension, which essentially is moving like on a moral continuum towards Hashem or away from Hashem. In the same way, you can kind of go upward, keep going up and up and up, or downward, going down, 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 sort of without end. So too, you can go goodward towards Hashem, or, you know, evilward, if you will, toward, away from Hashem. And tov means attaching oneself to nitzchis and permanence, and ra means detaching oneself, becoming more and more temporal and fleeting. So these things which are ra, they essentially take a person out of this world because they become less and less attached to permanence and more sort of a temporary phenomenon. So with that in mind, we'll have to learn the Mishnah, each of the three pieces of advice, how they explain how they both take a person out of the world literally, as well as figuratively. Okay? Worth also noting that at the end of the fourth parak, we have another Mishnah by Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, and he says the three other things take a person out of the world, so we'll have to discuss that over there. Now, the first of the three is Ayin Hara. Now, the Bar Tzanura learns that Ayin Hara here is synonymous with the Ayin Ra'ah that we had previously with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus as like the worst of the Midos. So even though they're not the same word, over there it's Reish Ayin Hei Ra'ah, which means evil, the evil eye. And here it's Ayin Hara, Reish, it's Hei Reish Ayin. He understands that the same exact thing. And meaning, just as over there, Ayin Ra'ah meant essentially not being happy with what one has and focusing on what one doesn't have, and sort of begrudging other people. So too, the Ayin Hara here that takes a person from the world is his mental orientation to be focused on what he doesn't have and focus on what he lacks and not appreciate what he does have. Everyone should think about this for a moment. There's just an endless amount of things that you do have, blessings in your life, and an endless amount of things that you don't have that you would like to have. That's the nature human condition. There's no one on planet Earth who wouldn't want many, many, many things he doesn't yet have. So it's life as a decision between focusing on what you do have and appreciating your blessings and focusing on what you don't have and sort of feeling always the sense of lacking. The latter approach is really a recipe for a miserable life. As Rav Noach Weinberg, my Rashiva, used to say, that if you can get bored of eyes, the eyes you see with, you can get bored of anything. Obviously, the marginal benefit you get from a new car or a new air conditioning or your knees not hurting you pales in comparison to the difference between having eyes and not having eyes. But we don't even think about having eyes. We take them for granted. So if you can get bored of having eyes, you can get bored of anything. And the point is there for a person to focus on what they do have, learn to appreciate that. In the case of eyes, of course, Chazal make a bracha for it. But in general, a person should in fact count his blessings. Rav Noach used to advise, before you go to bed every night, keep a gratitude journal, make a list, take two new things every night. One thing that's a physical thing, one's a non-physical thing that you're grateful to Hashem for having, that you appreciate in your life, and that will naturally make you a happy person and orient you towards focusing on your blessings as opposed to focusing on what you don't have. I, by the way, have a related suggestion, different, but it's a related suggestion, which is in your sitter, you should keep yourself a private sitter, and in the inside cover of your sitter, whenever Hashem answers your tefillos, you should write down that the thing that Hashem answered your tefillos. So over time, the inside cover of your sitter gets filled with all the time that Hashem answered your prayers, which again, orients you to realize that Hashem is there and responding to you and can be relied upon, and your prayer is effective. So the same, these are different kinds of blessings, whether it's a blessing having Hashem in your life or having, you know, the material blessings or the non-material blessings in your life. But the point is, a person should focus on these things so his orientation is a positive one, and that will essentially lead to good, healthy emotional state, emotional well-being. And that's really important, because if you lack that, so then essentially you're kind of rotten on the inside, and that will do you in, okay? More than that, just a second, but essentially having a embittered spirit takes a heavy toll, and actually a physical toll on a person. Now, the Meiri learns literally a person who feels lacking will kind of take risks to get what he doesn't have, and those risks will endanger his life. That's literally endanger your life. But by me, it's just much more, I prefer the pshat, that it's figurative, that a person is oriented also always on what he doesn't have, essentially is missing out on life altogether, and therefore it's motzim Adam in Olam. I'll point out, there's a remarkable Rashi, when Hashem engages Adam Rishon and asks, did he eat from the Eitz Hadas? So Adam Rishon says, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave it to me and I ate. And Rashi there says, Kan Kafar Batova. Here, Adam denied the good. He was an ingrate. And the question that I would like to ask is, what's Rashi coming to tell us? This is obvious. But the point is, as far as I'm concerned, the point is, until that moment, Adam could have salvaged matters and not been kicked out of the garden. But when he was a kafui tov, when he was an ingrate, Hashem realized, listen, I can't do more good for him. Putting him in paradise doesn't help one thing, because he's an ingrate, doesn't appreciate what I'm doing for him. And therefore, the more I give him, the more spoiled, rotten he'll be. The only option is now is to kick him out of the garden. So his kfias tov, his lack of gratitude, forced him to be was motzi him from his little paradise. And same with us as well. If we don't appreciate what Hashem gives us, Hashem is foolish to give us more, because it's just to make us more spoiled rotten. We have to appreciate what he does, and that's why if you fail to have this ayin tov and see the good in your life, so then that'll be motzi you from the world. Now, there are those who learn that this, a second pshat, that this ayin hara is not synonymous with ayin ra'a. It's a separate thing. That this ayin hara here is the good old-fashioned ayin hara that we talk about, that essentially you elicit midas adin, judgment on another person. So you look at another person, you say, why does he have that big house and all that money that I don't have? And therefore you sort of you incite him in judgment in heaven, like they say, yeah, good question. What does that guy have? Does he really deserve it? And he could lose it. Okay, ayin hara is a thing. That's a thing already from Bava Basra and the Gemara and so on down. It is a thing. And certainly in certain circles, like Moroccan circles, it's a very big thing in Jewish culture. In any case, so this ayin hara means, according to the second shot, that a person who incites the ayin hara in others by sort of forgetting them, you know, begrudging them of what they have, it's motzim from the world, either again, because, you know, once you make enemies, they'll come to have retribution against you, literally shorten your life, or figuratively, again, being, mean-spirited, just takes a toll on a person. And Chazal already pointed this out in Mishlei, not just Chazal, in Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs, it says, Urakav atzamos kina, the envy rots your bones, the rot of the bones is envy. So it eats you up from the inside out, hollows you out as a person by wishing badly on others, looking badly at others, people. And therefore, if you want to live a long, healthy, happy life and fulfill your opportunity of this life to connect with Hashem, you got to have not an ayin ra, but an ayin tova. Second of all, he says Yetzer Hara. Now, Yetzer Hara is the inclination towards Ra. As I explained before, Ra, you can think of just being like moving away from Hashem, but it really means to all things that are temporary, so an attachment to things of this world, kind of like things that animals want. So if you have a Yetzer Hara, an inclination, a drive towards temporary things, the things of this world. So here we're talking about things like indulging your physical appetites, eating and drinking and the like. So that's going to kill you, and quite literally. You know, the World Health Organization says that 5% of deaths worldwide come from alcohol-related. You know, people drinking too much destroys their liver, causes them to have accidents, destroys their mental health, causes cancer and the like. So over-drinking. Overeating, I don't know the facts, I don't know if anyone does, but certainly obesity and overeating is responsible for a huge amount, a greater amount of death. So this literally indulging in your physical appetites just costs you your life. It's a danger to your life in the literal sense. Similarly, venereal disease, what they now I think called STIs. 100 years ago, I think now their medicine's gotten better, but 100 years ago, in the developed world, like 10% of people, give or take, with a big margin of error there, because who knows exactly, but a significant portion in the realm of 10% of people died from venereal disease, syphilis, gonorrhea, and the like. So the point is, on a very basic level, according to many Rishonim, overindulgence of your physical appetites in the modern age, where venereal disease is no longer as much a factor, drug addiction certainly is a factor, that it just costs your life, and therefore it's motzinus adam in olam. On a figurative sense, it's also easy to explain. The idea here being that a person is focused on, you know, indulging his physical appetites, is distracted from his opportunity to forge a relationship with Hashem, which is much more than that. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking, for sure, and the like, but it should be done in the context of a more wholesome experience, relating to Hashem, blessing him with these opportunities and the ability to enjoy this world, and not chasing the sort of lo sasur chalavavchem v'chenechem, not to chase after these things as ends in themselves. The third thing is sinas habrios. So sinas habrios, the Bartender says sinas chinam, based also on Rashi, similar. It doesn't mean that sinas habrios, which means the hatred of humanity, is synonymous with sinas chinam, baseless hatred. And what it means is that there is a time and a place to hate. There's nothing wrong, and everything right, actually, with hating morally reprehensible people. You should. You shouldn't feel guilty about wishing ill will and having bad thoughts towards terrible, wicked, murderous people. However, that's not the point. The point is, this person has sort of just what's called a misanthrope. He just generally doesn't like people. So that is a terrible orientation. It'll do you in. So there are a few different pshatim here. The first pshat, we'll call it, is the pshat of the Magen Avos, who says essentially that, you know, if you're a bitter person, it will take its mental toll on you. You just don't like people, so you sort of live in a grumpy, sad world, and that mental health issue will take a toll on you. The Bartender's second pshat, like Meiri, more practical, which is if you are a difficult person that doesn't like people and makes, you know, looks at them as sort of with enmity, so they'll reciprocate and people won't like you either, and you sort of make enemies, and those enemies will, you know, harm you. So again, you're putting yourself at risk. The Rambam's approach, a little nuanced difference here, the idea is a person who hates people, what will his natural response be? His response will be to sort of move out to the desert or into the forest, you know, get himself a cave somewhere and live in a cave by himself. And once you're living in a cave by yourself, so you're exposed to all sorts of, you know, the dangers of being all by yourself. So all these approaches are taking this quite literally, that if you don't like people, it actually is a danger to you on a physical level. I should point out, the longest running study on human happiness, it's a longitudinal study from Harvard that's been running since 1938. So we're talking like, you know, whatever, it's you know, getting on for 90 years now. So one of the most amazing findings was that the single biggest predictor for people's happiness and also for longevity is his social connections. If a person fails to develop, you know, deep and meaningful social connections, friendships, marriage and the like, so it's going to cost him dearly, not just in his happiness, but also actually in his actual years of life, sort of corroborating exactly what this Mishnah is coming to say. Now, if you learn it more figuratively, that sinus habrios takes out of the world in a figurative sense, so the approach would be essentially that obviously life is it meant to be done on your lonesome? We talked about, you know, this idea of you shouldn't be poor from the tzibur and the like. So if your orientation and your self-identity is one that's you against the world, obviously you've left out so much of what Hashem's agenda is for you to achieve, which is being part of a community and building the community up with you and having a role to play in that community. So you divorce yourself from that. You've essentially moated yourself from the world. You took yourself out of the world because you've missed the opportunity of your lifetime to be part of something much bigger than yourself.